to be found in Jeremiah chapter 18. This word that comes from literally from the Oval Office of Almighty God. God comes to send a message to ancient Israel as he's sending to spiritual Israel today. Spiritual Israel, the sons and daughters of Abraham, the offspring of Abraham. And so please understand that I'm not talking about nationality, but that I am talking now about the spiritual family. Put it on the screen, Jeremiah, hallelujah, Jeremiah chapter 18. And we are going to say what the Lord would say unto us today. I wonder, are you ready? Word of God says, this is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. He says, go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message, or one translation says, I will cause you to hear my word. Hallelujah. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him. Yeah. I saw him working at the wheel. I saw him working at the wheel. And if he was working at the wheel, it therefore means that he was working on the vessel. I want you to put your Bibles down. And those of you that are at home, we're going to pick up from where we left off last week. And we have delivered this word in the hands of God. I heard him this morning again as he came between Myrna and I, and I heard his voice as strong as I hear mine's today. And he says, hello. Usually he'll tell me, get up now. But this morning he says, hello, as if to say, don't you realize it's prayer time? 2:30. And I have been with the Lord all morning long, and my soul is blessed. Jeremiah saw the potter working, busy working at the wheel. Boy, you done heard it so many times that you're wondering what's next. Oh, we got to touch it. We got to go back to the hand. The vessel is in the hand of the potter. Next week, I will finally get to the vessel is marred. But let me elaborate a little further on the hands. It's in the hands of the potter, and it is a dirty job, but it's in the hand of the potter, and he's working. So I want you to look at somebody this morning. I want you to look at somebody. You still looking at me, and those of you that are out there, I hope you got somebody next to you. Look at them and repeat the subject of the message again today. Damage beyond repair. Damage beyond repair. You may be seated in his presence. I will preface this message this morning by saying, scholars, students of scripture, defines the word anthropology simply as the study of man. It is a deep, complex subject that seeks to address the issue of what makes up our biological and generic composition. Essentially, anthropology is the study that combines the physiological with the sociological features and then tries to figure out what makes us human. For there's a difference between, though they say that humans are animals, something that a colleague of mine, we have always debated. I don't believe that we are, but that's an argument for another day. And so there is something that is distinctly different than about human beings than animals. For animals was not made in the image of God, but we were. I wonder, can I get a witness this morning? Yes, yes, yes. And so this issue then of anthropology seeks then to somehow put a counter distinction between them. From the way we look to the way we act, it categorically it categorizes human features and behaviors, and then tries to create a general profile, hallelujah, that somehow captures what distinguishes us from all other creation. Without a doubt, Scripture explicitly holds that mankind is the visible reflection of an invisible God. Look this way. Hallelujah. We know that we were made after the image and the likeness of God, although God does not have a physical body. Are you with me, somebody, per se? Now, we all know that God is a spirit. But from an anthropological perspective, he has chosen to reveal himself to us in a tangible imageries and relatable ideals and ideas that we can somehow best understand. Because God is a spirit and we live, look this way, in the invisible realm, God then will have to expose himself in order for us to understand who he is. And of course, this then, this is what theologians refer to as anthropomorphism. Anthropomorphism. I hope that you're taking a few notes and you can rehearse this and research this later on. From an anthropomorphic perspective, which denotes how God appears to us in human form, God is described as the unapproachable, infinite radiance of impenetrable light. That means that God's image may not necessarily look like what you're looking for. In other words, when you get to heaven, if you're looking for a man that sits on the throne, hallelujah, that looks exactly like you, you will be stunned and amazed, hallelujah, at the magnetism of God's glory. Is anybody with me here? It's a little tight, but it'll soften up in a little while. He veils and cloak his majestic grandeur. He covers his divine splendor in the inconspicuous, indiscernible garment of the invisible. Hallelujah. But from the concept of anthropomorphism, God, my brothers and sisters, he uses physical features and representations in order to allow us to get a mere, translucent, transparent, relevant picture of who he really is. We're going somewhere. In other words, through God, though God is a spirit, Scripture, amen, employs human characteristics and physical symbolism to describe some of his ways and actions that make it easy for us to understand his incomprehensible beauty and glory. Yes, yes. For example, God, amen, is said to have a face. And they say, what does God look like? God doesn't have a body like we do. But yet the Bible tells us that God, amen, has a face. And watch this here, somebody. Thus, according to Leviticus chapter 26 and verse 6, he said, sets his face against evil. Are you hearing me, somebody? He sets his face against evil. And in the famous Jewish benediction recorded in Numbers chapter 6 and verse 25, there we read, hallelujah to God, that the Lord makes his face to shine upon you, and the Lord lifts up his countenance upon you and give you peace. I declare in the name of Jesus that may the Lord look upon you like Joseph and release and clothe upon your life abundant favor. Come on, somebody. The symbolism here is that the face of God, hallelujah, shines like the sun, and with radiance he grants us his favor. When God looks at you, he either gives you a smile or he gives you a frown. And what you want is the face of God that is favorable towards you, because if you receive the frown of God, you are standing in the grip of divine judgment. Am I talking to somebody here? But I decree and declare over your lives and over America that may the Lord smile upon you, that may the Lord grant you favor. Are you with me, somebody? Let me work it for just a little bit. The skeptics ask, how do you know that God is real since you can't see him? Have you ever seen him? They ask. Hallelujah. They say, well, I'll believe him when I see him. But can I tell somebody that God cannot be known through human faculties or through the medium of cognitive intuition or cognitive abilities? No matter how smart you are, you cannot figure out God or know God simply by instinctive, hallelujah, cognition. You might be Einstein, hallelujah, but you cannot use human, amen, knowledge in order to find God. God can be discovered, hallelujah, cannot be discovered through the agents of human intelligence. But can I tell somebody that God can only be known through divine revelation, through the supernatural manifestation? Oh, come on, somebody. That's why, hallelujah to God, God, hallelujah, does not allow natural man, hallelujah to God, to reveal who he is. He reveals his divinity through natural man, who will open up the eyes of their mind, hallelujah, to receive the revelation. Oh, come on, say something, somebody. Reading from Ezekiel chapter 8 and verse 1 and 3. The Holy Ghost told me last night, he says, rush there. And I want you to note how the prophet describes the experience of seeing God. For they say that God dwells in the invisible realm, and God does not have a body, as if he's some kind of air out there in the cosmos. Oh, my God, but I told you he can be known. He can be known through revelation and divine manifestation. Ezekiel says, he notes, the prophet says, he says, in the sixth year of the sixth month, look at it, of the sixth day, glory be to God, he says, while I was sitting in my house and the elders of Judah were sitting before me waiting for a word from God, he said, the hand of the Lord, hallelujah, the sovereign Lord, the hand of God came down in the room, hallelujah, on me there. He says, I looked and I saw like a man from what appears to be his waist down. He says, it was like fire. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah, from his waist down was set on fire. Hallelujah. And from there,
up his appearance, up to his head, was like a bright glowing metal, like metal that was on fire. He stretched out, amen, he stretched out what looked like a hand, and Ezekiel says, he took me by the lock of my hair, hallelujah to God, and he pulled me up. Watch this. The Spirit lifted me up between earth and heaven, and in a vision. Come on, somebody. I'm telling you, God can reveal himself to you and to me. And the Bible says that in a vision, hallelujah, of God, he took me to Jerusalem. I come to tell somebody that God is ever real as you. Amen. More real than you and I, more real than our imagination. And if you've ever spent time with God, he'll open up your eyes, he'll open up your ears, and what we are decreeing and declaring, that may God, like Ezekiel, grab a hold of my head, hallelujah, somebody, so that I don't think humanistic thought. May God grab a hold of us, watch this, and lift us, amen, from this cosmos. Lift us, oh God, from this earth, and grant unto us access, hallelujah, into the invisible realm. Somebody say yes. I feel him up in here. God is, amen, invisible, but he can be known through revelation and divine manifestation. Can I tell somebody, may the Lord lift us up into the secret realm of his divine glory. Look at somebody and tell them, I want to be caught up in the glory. I want to be caught up in the glory. Sit for a while, because we're just working this. Isaiah now in the chapter 40 and verse 12. Isaiah says of God, he says here, he measures out the ocean in the hollow of his hands. So you say that he's just air, but God has a face, and God has eyes, and God has hands. He measured out, hallelujah, the ocean. He says he measured the ocean, the seven seas. He measured them in the hollow of his hands, and with the breath of the span of his hand, he marks out the heavens. You got to understand, this is symbolic, poetic expression, because God is so inexpressible and incomprehensible, then he uses natural objects and symbols so we can understand. Can you imagine? He doesn't need a tape measure. Hallelujah. He measures the ocean in the palm of his hands. What am I shunned about? David, the sweet lyricist, picks it up in the 95th chapter and the verse 4, and confirms that God holds the deepest parts of the earth in his hands. Say amen, somebody. God holds the deepest part of the earth in the palm of his hands, and says that the mountain peaks, as high as they are in his hands too. In other words, it does not matter who you are or where you are. It does not matter the powers of authorities, hallelujah, principalities, the political structures and systems, whether you're under a dynasty, you're under a monarchical kingdom, you're under a prime minister, a president, a governor, you are in the hands of Almighty God. God holds the world in the palm of his hands. Can I tell you then, metaphorically, hallelujah, speaking, the most luxuriant place to be is in the sovereign hands of God. Can I tell you that may the Lord hide you in the palm of his hands, scared and terrified about what is happening, but may the Lord hide you in the palm of his hands. May the Lord take your family and hide you in the palm of his hands. May the Lord take your richest treasures, your future and your destiny, and hide you in the palm of his hands. Somebody lift your hands. Somebody lift your hands and give him glory.
Yeah. Yeah. Allow me to work just a little bit. It is then Dr. Ulmer. Dr. Ulmer points out that there is probably no image, literal or figurative, no illustration or metaphor as multidimensional and complex, hallelujah, as the one presented by the constitution and workings of the arm, the hand, and the fingers of God. Nothing more puzzling, nothing more indescribable, nothing more incomprehensible than the hand of God at work in the life, in the nation, hallelujah, the God of a people. He goes on to say, he said, there is no other part of the Almighty's anatomy that gives us the many nuances, as many facets, or as many glimpses into God's nature, into God's character, and into God's, amen, and motivation. The scientific configuration alone, watch this, I studied it, the scientific configuration, the very structure of all human arm, amen, is emblematic of the trilateral nature, hallelujah, somebody, of the Godhead. What do you mean, Bishop? God showed me this yesterday. He said the arm comprises of three large bones, namely, hallelujah, the humerus, watch this, the ulna, and the radius, hallelujah, the arm, which works harmoniously together to pull, to push, to pound, to grip, to squeeze, to swing, hallelujah, and to lift and throw. These three bones in my arm, your arm, hallelujah, operates in perfect coordination, just as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So you were made in the image of God, after the likeness of God, in the similitude of God. Oh, we're going to preach after a while. Hallelujah to God. Let me give you knowledge before you find inspiration. Come with me, somebody. The hand of God then, as was emphasized last week, amen, is employed as a figurative expression, hallelujah to God, a figurative expression that symbolizes strength, it symbolizes power, dominion, protection, provision, hallelujah, somebody. Basically, it signifies an object of comfort, of discipline, of authority, amen, of generosity, for with the same hand of authority as a father in the house, the same hand that disciplines is the same hand that is altruistic and kind, the same hand that reaches to the children, hallelujah, and provides meat and bread, hallelujah to God, and comfort in times of worry and grief. It is a hand of hospitality and stability. In most cases in scripture, the hand of God, amen, refers to the incontestable, unwavering power of the Almighty. I mean power. Power, my brothers and sisters, to save. What you mean power? Power to protect. Power to deliver. Power to restore. And power to redeem. So when I say that you are in the hands of the potter, I'm telling you that you are in the hands that laid the foundation of the earth. You are in the hands, amen, that by the anvil of his will, hallelujah, struck the rock, hallelujah, of omnipotence, and on the tip of his fingers, he flew the stars out into the sky. He is the God that maps out the scope, hallelujah, of the earth and all the galactic planets. The galaxy is in the hands of Almighty God. If the God who rules over heaven and earth and over every star in the
the sky, will he not take care of you? Oh, ye little children, fret not yourself about tomorrow, for the hand that rules the world is the hand in whom your life, your destiny, your family, your soul, and your spirit is in your hands. Cannot the God who provides bread for the, amen, for the creatures of the world, for the worms in the ground, for the birds in the sky, for the fishes in the sea, will he not take care of you? Oh, ye of little faith, hallelujah, lift up your faith unto the Lord, for the countenance of the Lord is upon you. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say, we serve a mighty God. Shout hallelujah. Hey. Look at somebody. Just a little bit more juice and let me go. Turn me loose. Look at somebody and tell him I'm in his hands. Hallelujah. Mother, look at somebody. Tell him I'm safe. Turn around. Look at your husband right there in your living room and tell him no matter how bad it gets, we are safe in his hands. Shout hallelujah. Can I work a little bit on my tired, weary self? Can I work a little bit and on my, hallelujah, with my weak self this morning? Glory be to God. With only some water in my stomach, I've got to rely on the Lord. Because when I'm weak, then am I made strong. I'm telling you right now that God's going to strengthen you. I'm telling you right now that God's going to make you strong. In fact, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, for you are clothed and robed with the grace of God, the hand of God. It connotes, hallelujah, I'll soon be there. The hand of God, it connotes the irresistible, the impenetrable force of the Almighty. The hand of God, it shields and it guides, it defends and protects, and then it provides by any means necessary. The hand of God will protect you. Say amen, somebody. Say amen, somebody. You don't want the hand of God to turn against you. Come on, the hand of God. We're talking the hand of God. Are you with me here, somebody? This is the reason why you want to make sure that your life is firmly anchored, that your life is secured and fastened in the hands of the Lord. Why? For there is great hope for everyone who finds themselves living under the security of God's umbrella policy. Did you hear me, somebody? Look at somebody. I'm talking insurance now. Tell somebody that my life and my soul is insured by the blood of Jesus. I wish I had time to explain the umbrella policy, but call me and ask me this week, and by this I mean, when the hand of the Lord is with you, it empowers you not only to do the unthinkable, it makes the impossible possible. Can I preach this morning? Can I preach up in here? I don't care how gifted and talented, how ingenious and resourceful you are. Without God's help, all your efforts is worthless and futile. Anybody know what I'm talking about? On the contrary, however, it matters not if you are an illiterate orphan or a useless invalid. If the hand of God is moving and working in your life, there is no limit to what you will be able to accomplish. Say yes if you know what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. Exhibit A. Hallelujah. 1 Samuel chapter 18 and 14. When God's hands is with you, David now, hallelujah, the Bible said prospered and had great success. Why? Because the Lord was with him in everything that he did. Whatever you do, hallelujah to God, pursue God and pray this prayer all week long. Lord, may your hands be upon me, touch me, Lord. Come on, tell somebody, lay your hands on me. If you're struggling in business, tell God, Lord, lay your hands on me. If you're struggling with sicknesses and diseases, it's Lord, lay your hands on me. Yeah, yeah, yeah. As long as David sought the Lord, that the hand of God was with him, and he succeeded during the times of the great persecution in Acts chapter 11 and the verse 21. A few of the sanctified scattered believers, they went down to Antioch. They went down at a time of great persecution. They went down when the government was persecuting and trying to kill the believers, like Hitler. They were trying to cleanse the earth of the believers. But with the Spirit of God, they went to Antioch. They began spreading the good news of the gospel of the Lord. And as risky and scary and unpopular as it was, the Bible says that the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great multitude believed, hallelujah, and turned to the Lord. I come to tell somebody, whatever and your endeavors, whatever your pursuits, whatever, money or no money, regardless of the hazardous or discouraging conditions, if the hand of the Lord, hallelujah, is with you, not only are you unstoppable, shout, anything is possible. I hear somebody, I'm all by myself, I got no help, no support. Honey, if you're in his hands, you got all the support you need. You got to spit out faith. You got to set doubt aside and believe God. Believe in his prophets, and so shall you prosper. Somebody say yes. Somebody say yes. Touch somebody. No. Look at somebody and tell them, anything with God is possible. Now, this is where I shift gear. Tell somebody that it must be clearly understood that the same hand that stands ready to impart blessings upon the believer, the same hands that empowers, the same hands that shields and guides, the same hands that provides and protects, the believer can spell terror and disaster to anyone that aligns himself against God's divine authority. Are you hearing me, somebody? And there's a little saying, hallelujah to God, in my Jamaican culture, that you don't want to taste the hand of my father. Are you hearing me, somebody? Or the hands of my mother. Hallelujah to God. They bless you and they are tender. But if you break the rules and violate their honor, oh God, you will feel the hands. You don't want to feel the hand of God. Do I have a weakness up in here? Hallelujah, somebody. Here it is now. The reality, my brothers and sisters, is that you don't want to test God's authority. If you are in the hand of God, anything that comes against you will have to deal with the irresistible force and the inexorable power of God's strong arm. But let it be known that if the hand of God is against you, nothing can save you. Are you hearing me, somebody? Whether you are righteous or unrighteous, if the hand of God comes against you, if the hand of God comes against a nation, if the hand of God comes against a people, if the hand of God comes against a system, nothing can deliver you. Hallelujah, somebody. Case in point, 1 Samuel 4. Hallelujah to God. And verse 1 to 18. Look here. The hand of God came against Israel. For Israel, under the leadership of Eli, hallelujah, compromised with sin. They compromised in such a way that Eli the high priest tolerated all kinds of filth in the house of God. He would not discipline his sons, whom the Bible calls scoundrels. We got some scoundrels in the pulpit. We got scoundrels in the house of God. And in case you don't know what is happening, during pandemic, God is cleansing the house. During pandemic, God is cleansing the church. These boys were thieves and high-class criminals. These boys were rapists and vagabonds. Read it for yourself. And God sent an anonymous prophet to the house to tell Eli, Eli, I raise you up, but now I'm about to get rid of you. I'll tear your house down. The hand of God was against him. God said, Eli, because you wouldn't discipline your corrupt boys, I'm going to discipline you. And here is what I will do. I have rejected your priesthood. Hallelujah to God. And not only yours, but your sons. In fact, I'm coming against your entire lineage. I'm going to wipe you out. I'm going to cleanse my temple. God says, here is what I'm going to do. This will be a sign unto you. Your two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, hallelujah, the bad boys of the church, I'm going to kill them in one day. Hallelujah. And every other of your generation, there will not be a man that grows to be an adult. Everyone in your lineage will die, hallelujah, prematurely. None will die of old age. It is God that gives you life. It is God that preserves you. It is God that gives you longevity. Are you hearing me, somebody? God said, I'm going to wipe out your house. Hallelujah. I'm going to bring a curse that will never be, hallelujah, escape upon your house. Now, when God sends a word, humble yourself. Because there are some of you that are vexed with me, that are watching me right now, and some of you sitting right here. I heard you. And God told me this week, he said, I heard them too. I heard you. Some of you have said how that I violated natural laws. I should not be encouraging you to come before God in small groups. And I was crying before the Lord, weeping right there. And the Lord says, they have not rejected your request. They have rejected my command. And you must be careful that when a word comes from God, a legitimate word, that you fall into compliance, not with a man, but with the representative of God and the will of God. You know, there is nowhere in the scripture in chapter 4 that you can read where Eli, glory be to God, where Eli repented. In chapter 3, where Eli repented, God raised up Samuel again. And God told through Samuel, who was 11 years old at the time, God told Samuel to tell Eli, I'm getting ready to deal with you. This is the second message now he's sending to Samuel, to Eli. Eli. You know what Eli's response was? Well, he is God. Let God do what pleases him. And when the words left his mouth, he cast doom upon his life and upon the life of his family. Come with me, I got to rush fast. And so it is. Hallelujah to God. Here now that the Philistines came up to fight, hallelujah, against Israel. And as always, Israel went out in the name of the Lord. But the hand of the Lord was against Israel. Glory be to God. And in a few minutes, hallelujah, an attack was launched. Watch this here. 400 of Israel's men died. Something that was unprecedented. And when they saw this, they ran from the battlefield. They regrouped in the camp and said, the Philistines are the enemies of God. Why did God allow us to be defeated? So they said, here, go get the ark. When you get the ark, the presence of God is with you. Go get the ark. When the presence of God is with you, there is victory. They ran to the ran back to Shiloh, hallelujah, where the ark was kept. And when they got there, Ophni and Phinehas, those scoundrels, they were the ones watching over the ark. And they grabbed the ark and they ran back to the battle. When they got to the battle, the soldiers, they began to shout with a thunderous shout. And the Philistines heard it. And they said, oh my God, we are doomed. Because the God of Israel has come into the camp, hallelujah, of those soldiers. But one stood up and said, be strong, ye Philistines. He said, be strong and stand ye like men and fight, lest we become slaves of the Israelites. They attack Israel, but because the hand of God was with them, though they had the ark, though they thought they had the ark, they didn't have the presence of God. And that day, 34,000 men were slain. And guess what? Not only that, the prophetic now is brought to pass, because not only 34,000 were slain and they lost the battle. Look at what happened. A Benjamite ran back. A Benjamin ran back to the city to report what was going on. And when Eli heard the commotion, hallelujah to God, he called the man. Said, what's going on here? He says, haven't you heard? I just came back from the battlefield. Oh, my man, he said, disaster is upon Israel. Though the ark is there, Ophni and Phinehas is dead. And Eli said not a word. But then he reported that the ark of the covenant of God has been confiscated in the hands of the Philistines. And when Eli heard that God had left Israel, he fell over. For the Bible says he was a fat man. He got fat upon the meat of the altar that was supposed to be the holy offering unto the Lord. And he fell over in a heart attack and broke his neck and died. And died. May you not lose your anointing in this pandemic. May the presence of God not be taken away from you in this pandemic. Because otherwise, the next thing that is happening is Ichabod. Ophni's wife, is Ophni or Phinehas? Phinehas' wife was pregnant. And she was giving birth at the same time that the news entered into the city. And while she was in the camp giving birth, hallelujah to God, she gave birth to a boy. And the midwife says, you should be encouraged. You have received a boy child. And in grief and sadness, she called him Ichabod. She says, the glory of the Lord, hallelujah to God, has left Israel, and Ichabod, hallelujah to God, has entering. Ichabod, the dark spirit, hallelujah to God, means that Israel was now under the control of idolatry, another god, for the presence of God had left. And when she named him Ichabod, she closed her eyes and died as well. Watch here, right in the family. Glory be to God. Look how many died that same day. Ophni and Phinehas and their armor bearers died. Eli the high priest died. Hallelujah, somebody. Her daughter-in-law died. And the the glory of God is departed. Now you got to go now to me. Hallelujah to God with me. We got to push it a little further to tell you that when the hand of God is against the righteous, you will suffer tragedy. Do you hear me, somebody? Oh God, oh God. On the, look here with me first, Samuel 4, 1 to 18. The hand of God was against Israel. But in chapter 5 and verse 1 to 7, write it down. It narrates the story of the Philistines butchering 34,000 Israelites soldiers. Watch this. But what's worse? They captured the ark from Ebenezer and brought it down to Ashdod. Israel was taught a lesson in divine discipline, and now the heathens will know who is really God. Are you hearing me, somebody? Are you hearing me, somebody? The same anointing that protects destroys. So they felt strong and mighty. They boast in their own strength and their military prowess. Hallelujah, like America. Hallelujah, who feels as if she is invincible. But we must pray that America turns to God. Otherwise, America will reap the dregs, will drink the dregs of God's divine wrath and judgment. Do I have a people in this place today who came to be tickled with the word of God? But now I've got to preach to you. Hallelujah, the final decree. They brought the ark down. Amen, down to Ashdod. But they made a collective calamitous decision, mistake. Hallelujah. Upon arrival, they brought it into the chief shrine. They brought it into Dagon's temple. The Ark of the Covenant. Hallelujah to God, which typifies the presence of God. The same presence that was working against Israel is now about to bring the Philistines to their knees. Somebody shout, there is no God like our God. Say amen, somebody. They made the mistake when they got to Ashdod to go to put God in the temple of Dagon, right next to their false idol. Hear me, somebody. Ignorant of the fact that besides God, there is no equal. Ignorant to the fact that God will not share apartments. Hallelujah to God with idols. God will not share space with idolaters. America! Hallelujah! God has raised you up in the palm of his hands, but you have allowed all abominable practices, every lewd practices of immorality, gross immorality, and idolatry, telling people that they can worship whom they want to worship, and your God is required from you. You have been found wanting, America, and you are now in the hands of Almighty God. I command the entire nation to bow before God Almighty and the church in repentance, for you have given over to humanistic thinkings and thoughts of devils, not knowing what will happen if the glory of God depart from us. They put him in the same space with God. Look here, somebody. America, she is called the melting pot. And she wants to blend in with everybody of the world. Giving heed to the voices, the political voices that be. I'm for Trump and I'm for Biden. I'm for Pence and I'm for Kamala. Who's for God? Who's on the Lord's side? Who's on the Lord? Be careful what you vote for you will get it. Economy, and may you live with it, for we are living in the last days, and there's a judgment that is fixed for America, depending
on how this election turns out. Yes, yes, it has been prophesied. It has been spoken. God said America is weighed in the balance, in a scale. And I am now ready to pull America down to her knees. She will lose her world power based on the outcome of this election. He says, I will strike the West with a fire such as never been heard of in the history of America or the world. Immediately afterwards, I will strike the East with a flood that will make the last floods we have just heard about look like child's play if the right decision is not made. Listen, me, I don't understand God. And I ain't trying to understand all of God. What I do know is that I always want to be on the side of God. Well, Bishop, what is that side? The side of righteousness and holiness, and I can't give you any more. You better pray. Hey, can I go on to tell you? They have now put, oh my God, I don't know when I finish this. Maybe it'll last for the rest of this year. I just got to let God do what he's doing. They brought him into the house of Dagon. And they set him up next to Dagon. There will never be another God. Hallelujah to God besides God. Idolatry is in the church. Hallelujah to God. We have established, hallelujah to God, the kingdom of darkness in God's house. For we have turned over to the philosophies of the world. Glory be to God. God says they come to the house of God and they don't come to worship me. They come out of tradition. You gotta search your heart. They come because it seemed to be the thing to do. They've come to receive from my hands. But where is my honor and where is my glory? So they amalgamated God with all the other practices of the heathens and they put God next to Dagon. But the next morning when they got up, lo and behold, Dagon was falling flat on his face down on the ground before the ark of the covenant of God. Where? Before the ark of the covenant of God. Because every knee shall bow, every tongue confess, every powers that there be will one day bow before the Almighty. Can I get a witness? Can I get a witness? Here it is. He's on the ground, mortified and completely baffled as to what could have happened to provoke such humiliating catastrophe. Lord God have mercy. They raised Dagon back up on his feet. Look here, they say that God doesn't exist, so they created a God for themselves, a God made by their hands, a God they could see, but a God that was dead. But the invisible God that they could not see came in the middle of the night, slapped Dagon off of his feet. He's bowing on the ground. They propped him back up. I got to close here. I got so much more to say today. I got to close here. Jennifer, they propped him back up. Who would want to serve a God that when he falls, you got to raise him up? Who would want to serve a God that you want to give him aid? Who would serve a God that you are his assistant, that when he gets in trouble, you help him out? Why do I need to worship a God like that? Oh, the idiocy, the imbecilic skullduggery of ignorant people. I want to serve a God that when I fall down, he picks me up. When I can't get up, he picks me up. He supports me in the time of my trouble. This poor man cried. This poor man cried. And he heard me. And he picked me up. He picked me up.
May God pick you up. May God lift you up out of your troubles, out of your calamities, out of distress, out of oppression. May God pick you up. May the hand of the Lord lift you up from where you are. Somebody cry, yeah!
Come on, take that thing off. Look at somebody. Look at somebody and tell them, God's picking you up. God's picking you up. Baby, we're not going to be buried in pandemic. We're not going to be buried in discouragement. Shout, he'll pick you up. I come to tell you, he'll pick you up. You're not going to be down for long. He's going to pick you up. He's going to raise you up. Oh my God. I want you to know that the lions, the young lions, they may go weary and they may fall, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. Tell somebody, I'm getting ready to go up higher. Shout hallelujah. Hey, hey, somebody cry, God, I need a lift. Somebody cry, God, I need a lift. Come on, somebody, I need some help. I need divine intervention. I need the hand of God. Do you need the hand of God? You need a miracle in your life. You need deliverance today. Cry to the Lord. I cry to the Lord. I'll cry to the Lord. Lord, give me a hand. Give me a hand. Give me a hand. Heaven, give me a hand. Give me a hand. Send me an angel. Give me a hand. Give me a hand. Lest I die, lift me from the deep. I'm falling, I'm drowning, but lift me up. Lord, 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 lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land. Omandebe, lift me up. Somebody need to pray that prayer right now. Lift me up, Jesus. Lift me up. He won't keep you there. He won't let you. He won't let you. For the angels of the Lord and camp. Round about them that fear him. Oh, you think I'm finished? You just can't have no more of this. But I want to close off this point here. Come on, look to the hand of God. Look to the, what are you dealing with? What you dealing with? What's your family crisis? What's your family crisis? Kerabashandaba. Koramashendelebesiateva. I wonder, can I talk to somebody? I wonder, what's your impossibility? Have you been knocked off of your feet? Do you find yourself levered to the ground? I want to say, if God be God, then serve him. And if your God can't help you, it's time for you to switch. It's time for you to make the switch. It's time for you to cross over on God's side. Because if the Lord is for you, who? I want you to come with me. I'm closing. Because now they tell me, Azad, that they propped up, glory be to God, they propped up Dagon back on his feet, and they repositioned him in his original place. But in the midnight hour, to their chagrin, the following morning, after they found Dagon prostrate flat on his face, bowing before the ark of the Lord, only this time. I want to tell somebody that God is working. You may not see him, but he's working. He's working on your case in the dark, in the darkest hour of the night. God stepped down, hallelujah to God, and there was, amen, an intergalactic battle between the gods of the universe and the Almighty God. God slapped him down, hallelujah, in his wrath and his anger. His wrath
right hand, slapped him down to the ground. Hallelujah to God. Oh, but only this time, there was a stark difference. For the Bible says they not only found him before the Lord, watch this here, but his head was decapitated, completely severed from both, amen, from both his from both hands, was completely severed, hallelujah to God, from violently from their shoulders. He ripped, hallelujah, their arms, his arms, hallelujah, from their from his shoulder, and only the mangled, amen, remains that was left was the trunk of Dagon's body. Dagon, hallelujah to God, was there, no feet, hallelujah to God, and he ripped it off. He ripped off his arms, he ripped off his head. God took his power. Somebody say yes, somebody say yes, somebody say yes. And he did it in a violent way. I come to tell somebody, the message was abundantly clear. All of the gods are the works of man, hallelujah, but they will soon fade away. Somebody shout, all of the gods will soon fade away, but shout, power belongs to the Lord. Oh, I feel God up in here today. Power belongs to God. God will bring down, God will bring down every human authority. God will bring down every government and principality. But God, when the battle is over, God remains the same. Invincible, indivisible. He is God. Somebody shout, there is no God. Shout, there is no God. Shout, there is no God like our God. I feel like closing here. I feel like closing in telling somebody for real that power belongs to God. The scripture proceeded to say that the hand of the Lord was so heavy on the people of Ashdod. He dealt with their God. He disabled their God. He brought down their God. Come, we're getting ready to go. And then he decided to deal with the idolaters. Are you hearing me, somebody? God is dealing, hallelujah, with America like no other nation. And God is not dealing with America because God hates America. He loves America. He raised her up as the eagle, as the eagle, hallelujah to God, in the earth. Can I give you a mystery? Can I give you a mystery? They say nowhere in America, can nowhere in the Bible can you see America. So where is God? Where is America in the end times, in prophecy, end time prophecy? Well, can I tell you, America has been raised up to stand with Israel, God's eternal people. Do you not know that if you look at the word Jerusalem and how it is spelled, in the very middle of Jerusalem is the words U.S. Hey, are you hearing me, somebody? In the middle of Jerusalem, there is USA. God loves America. But if America turns from God, they will receive the wrath of God. God is now going to deal with the people of Ashdod. And the Bible says that the hand was against, his hands was against them. He struck them with a deadly pandemic of incurable, amen, tumors. I mean, not just some virus, but tumors. Hallelujah to God. And he began killing them, amen, by the hundreds and thousands. It was so rapid and so severe that they tried everything to get Israel's treasure out of their territory because of the hand of God that was turned against them. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah, bringing death and destruction. It was rampant in the city. For who can oppose? knows. And who can resist his mighty strong arm? Hear me when I tell you, may the hand of the Lord turn every complicated, vexing spirit that has tampered, hallelujah, with your joy and with your peace. May he turn them into hopeless, disabled invalids. May every works of darkness fall before you. Come. I decree and declare that every conflicting, amen, tormenting force, tormenting force in your life must fall at the feet of the Almighty. May the hand of Jehovah pull down, topple over every evil force that is sent to challenge the God in you. Did you hear me, somebody? Every force that comes to test your faith and trouble your mind with mental oppression, delirium and delusion, may God Almighty oppose them. Somebody say yes. Somebody say yes. Somebody shout yes. May Jehovah El Shaddai, the God who is mighty in battle, amen, decapitate the head of every serpentine spirit that has come to ravish your family, to sever your sacred union with the true and the living God. May the Lord rip apart and pull down every false, bogus, counterfeit, familiar spirits that is trying to penetrate and to disrupt your life. May the Lord pull it down. Somebody shout, pull it down. Somebody shout, pull it down. Somebody shout, pull it down.
In the superior name of Jesus, I decree and declare that Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, will dismantle and rip to threads every deceptive, devious, devilish witch and warlock that is trying to discombobulate and disrupt God's plan. And that is trying to destroy God's purpose in your life. In the name of Jesus, lift your hands to receive it. As God did to Dagon, may the hand of the Lord do to every satanic imposter, every agitator and oppressor that is waging war in your mind, in your body, in your family, in your finance, in your life. Whatever force is trying to capture your strength, your glory, your destiny, your progress, and your peace, by the consuming fire of the Holy Ghost, I command it to fall flat and die now in the name of Jesus. Let every hindering spirit of disturbance be driven far from your life in the name of Jesus. Come on, somebody shout, go, 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 in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In a triumphant announcement, Jeremiah 32 and verse 21 declared, You brought your people Israel out of Egypt with signs and wonders, by a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, and with great terror. In Psalms 118 and 16, with euphoric joy and nostalgic jubilation, the Hebrew poet echoed, the strong right arm of the Lord is raised in victory. Strong right arm of the Lord, hallelujah, has done glorious things. The hymnologist then took it up, and he said it best. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on his everlasting arm, I have blessed peace with my Lord so near. And I'm leaning on his everlasting arm. Leaning, safe and secure from all alarm, leaning on his everlasting arm. Somebody here needs to know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, mighty to heal, mighty to save, mighty to deliver, mighty to restore. And in your life today, I decree the blessings of the Lord make it rich. Bring it no earthly sorrow. Receive it now, saints, as you stand. Receive it now, those of you that are home, as you bow before him. Oh, there's a dark cloud that has veiled the horizon this morning. May it not be a symbolic prophetic sign of the gathering clouds of horror and sorrow that overcast the horizon of our future. May the Lord God break through, and may the day star from an eye shine upon your lives and bring you peace in the midst of tribulation, in the midst of insurmountable troubles and struggles for our teachers that are afraid. Everybody is living in a state of instability. The ground is shaking. There is a tremor